not only because of the cross of Christ, but primarily that, but because of the working of the Holy Spirit, you and I have come to faith in this Jesus. And we're going to look at that this morning. Often, when it comes to the working of the Holy Spirit, people think that that's limited to the fantastical things. Now, our denomination isn't all so charismatic. That's okay. We are no less Spirit-filled. And we're going to look this morning at how is the Holy Spirit continually active in you and me and all of us as we're following Jesus in the world today. Where do we see the Holy Spirit? Or maybe better, where should we better see the fact that the Holy Spirit, as we've been singing about this morning and worshiping and praying all about, to see the Holy Spirit at work in the Christian life. And that's what we're going to look at this morning as we open this phenomenal passage from the book of Romans chapter 8. Most of us are probably more familiar with the latter part of it and how through Christ we are all conquerors and nothing can prevail against us, which is all true. But the first 17 verses remind us of why that's true. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's pause, though, and ask the Holy Spirit to be present as we hear this word, that it would bring this life back to us again as we seek to follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we come because you are here. We come because you are in us. And we pray now as we pause and just stop everything, Lord willing, all the busyness and the frantic activity around us, we pause and desire to listen to your word. The word that is life, the word that gives life, the word that points us to the one who is the resurrection and the life. Do this work, we ask, because we need it, and you are quick to reply. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite you to stand as we listen and hear from God's word. Romans 8, verses 1 through 17 in the NIV translation of the Bible. In a lot of translations, you'll find headings. And the heading in Romans 8 is Life Through the Spirit, which is the title of our message this morning. And let's listen to what God's word has to say about that very truth. Therefore, very familiar passage. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. This is God's word for us this morning. You may be seated once again. As we consider a very important reality, and that is the role and the working of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life, I'm going to just focus on that opening verse for a moment of chapter 8, which captures everything that follows. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we need to let that sink in. Therefore, there is now. And that word now is the game changer. If you come to Heritage for any amount of time, you know that I love question answer 60 of the Heidelberg Catechism because it has this wonderful word, nevertheless. But that nevertheless is essentially the now of Romans 8, verse 1. Now, says Paul. Prior to that, all we knew was the struggle of sin and its condemnation. And Paul captures that in chapter 7 of Romans. For example, he says there in chapter 7, he says, and this such a powerful passage here in chapter 7, and he's saying that sinful nature, he says, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, he says, the evil I do not want to do, that I keep doing. He's really capturing here the life before Christ. The sinful life, the life that is caught in death and destruction, and you heard about that in our passage this morning, but he says, now, Romans 8, verse 1, now, he says, because of what Jesus secures for us, there is now what? No, he says. It's a simple negative. And it's not a hope for truth. This is not a wishfulness for a maybe statement. Paul is saying, therefore, there is now no condemnation. There's no guilty verdict. There's no guilty verdict when, and here's where we're going to look at this morning, when through the Holy Spirit, we find our life in Christ. We have been declared righteous. Who is no longer condemned? He goes on to say, those, and this is very specific in our culture today in which things are very mushy and gray, the Bible is very clear. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Last Sunday was Ascension Sunday in the Christian church, and I said there, and I'll say again, what the Ascension does is it reveals and clarifies the wonder of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension that we understand, I have been forgiven. I have been declared righteous. That's what happens at the cross. We are declared righteous. We are declared, as Paul says in Romans 8, verse 1, no longer condemned, no longer guilty. We have been set free. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that is the basic of the gospel. And you and I, we have people in our life who don't know Christ or aren't following him, and you're wondering, what do I tell them? And here's the gospel. I want to tell you, right, if you're sharing your testimony, what my story is, and it's Romans 8, verse 1, there's no longer condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus. But this isn't where the gospel ends. This is the beginning of the gospel, but as we go on with chapter 8, which is what we're going to look at, we find out there's so much of what the Holy Spirit does to affirm and confirm this truth. And the first one we're going to look at this morning is the work of regeneration. We're going to use regeneration and then sanctification and adoption. That's what we're going to look at in our passage this morning. But it goes on in verse 2. Paul says, after the no condemnation, he says, because through Christ Jesus, this conversion happens, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. This is the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Here's that first work. It's in the life of everyone who belongs to Jesus. Don't question for a moment. Again, and I don't want to be overly critical. I do think there's an over-charismatic movement amongst the church some days because we like the visible signs of the Holy Spirit. But the reality is, if you're in Jesus Christ, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit is movement number one and the best thing that we could possibly have. If you know the cross and the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit has revealed it to you, you have more than enough than you need of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hands down. That's the work of regeneration. In a very real sense, no one comes to Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. Why does anyone believe at all? It's because God, through the Holy Spirit, opens hearts, opens ears, opens eyes to see Jesus. Apart from that work, again, the Holy Spirit, we are very Trinitarian in our theology, very Trinitarian in our discipleship, very Trinitarian in everything, in our worship, in our church, in everything, because we know there is no good news apart from that work of the Holy Spirit. There's a great hymn of faith, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And one of the lines in that hymn says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. That's why the work of the Spirit is so present in those who know Christ. And it's a truth worth celebrating every day. As you think about your walk with Jesus, and maybe you're married and you're walking with your spouse in faith, or they're not a follower of Christ and you're praying for them, or your children and work, it's everything. As you're working and walking through life, it is through the power of the Holy Spirit regenerating us to trust in Jesus. Because when we're joined to Christ, we are beneficiaries of that work. And there's no way to come to Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. It's vital. And there's no way we remain in Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. We are truly Pentecostal people because of this. Not because of charismatic gifts, although those were poured out in the New Testament days, but because of the work of the Spirit, regenerating your heart, regenerating my heart, once in Christ and every day with him since. It's a wonder to think about as you go through life, as we walk this road of discipleship, that's what's happening all the time. So that, for example, whenever we profess this in the catechism, whenever the devil tries to make you doubt your position in Jesus, and you know he does this, right? Whenever the devil tries to make you question, and we're going to look at this more in a moment too, but whenever the devil tries to make you wonder, do you really belong to Jesus? The one thing you need to do, amongst others, is just ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of that truth. I have been regenerated. I am not who I was. I belong to Christ. The law of the Spirit of life is working in me, not the law of the spirit of sin. Regeneration. And there's the basic definition you see on our screen this morning. It's the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in granting spiritual life to every Christian, raising them to spiritual life so that they are able to repent and trust in Christ. If you're here and you know Christ, that's a work of the Spirit. If you're here and you don't know Christ, it's our prayer the Spirit does that work. Because it won't happen apart from the Spirit. So there's the first thing Paul talks about, just in the opening verses here of chapter 8. The next thing, because it's not just our regeneration or our justification and all that kind of stuff. We have been delivered from sin's penalty. That's the truth. But what do we do with sin's power that's still present? Well, that's where the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit comes in. It's why we depend on the Holy Spirit as we walk with Jesus. That's the second major work that Paul talks about here in this passage. The Spirit works to sanctify our walk with Christ. The Spirit works to help us respond to this new life in Jesus. The Spirit helps us to be led as we make decisions and encounter challenges and wonder about our own walk with Jesus. This is the guiding work of the Holy Spirit. It's much more than, people say, and this is not a bad thing. They say, I was led by the Spirit to do such and such. I think that's fantastic. If the Spirit leads you to go back to school and maybe get another degree, or if the Spirit leads you to go on a mission trip, or maybe the Spirit leads you to pray for somebody who's far from Christ, fantastic. I love that. But ultimately, to be led or to be guided by the Holy Spirit is what Paul is talking about here in verses 5 through 12. And there's two things he really says about it. The first one, he says, look, there is a difference. There's a way of contrast in our world today. There's those who do not live by the Spirit, and there are those who are walking in the Spirit. There are those who are still condemned. Romans 8 verse 1 doesn't apply to them. Paul says here they have their minds set on what the sinful nature desires. They are captives of that. And in verses 6 through 8, the results are really spelled out. Paul says here, what do we say about those who are still condemned? It means they're hostile to God. It means they don't submit to God's law, nor can they. And therefore, they cannot please God. But then he says, you know what? There's another group. And there's those who belong to Christ. And it shows. It shows in how they live. And this is that sanctification work that you and I are in. And it's a lifelong journey. It until you and I meet Jesus, we're always longing to grow in Christ. And we need the Holy Spirit for that work. And the sanctifying work of the Spirit in us makes us look different. It means, for example, we do respond to God's will. Whether it's a guilty conscience or something, even when we sin, we come here in corporate worship on Sunday mornings and we do this, we confess our sins because the Spirit does that in us, Lord willing. We come and we say, as we heard in our liturgy this morning, our hearts were not set ablaze this week by the Spirit. We didn't listen. We didn't do the things we know we're supposed to do. But along the way, there's that desire. And so Paul says in chapter 8, verse 12, he says, we have an obligation. That's the difference. Those who are still condemned don't feel the obligation. They're good people. They're kind people. They're nice people. But those who feel that obligation, filled by the Holy Spirit, we recognize we are made and redeemed to follow Christ. We are made and redeemed to give our life to Jesus more and more and more every day. And when we fall back, to get back on the Holy Spirit and to get filled again, so we keep following Christ. What does that look like? Well, we could talk about the call to holiness. That's a big one. What do Holy Spirit people do? Holy Spirit-filled people do? We speak the truth in love. Holy Spirit-filled people desire to put sin to death in our life. And if you're somebody who struggles with gossip, you're trying to kill that sin. If lying is a part of your life, you're trying to kill that sin. If dishonoring people in authority over you, you're killing it. You see, there's a difference. If you weren't filled by the Spirit, you wouldn't care less. It means that Christ followers who are not yet married take to heart God's word when it says, don't be yoked with an unbeliever and don't have sex outside of marriage. Why? Because the Holy Spirit convicts us of those things. And if we're not, pray for it. It means that parents, for example, who follow Christ, we know we're supposed to teach our children to know Jesus. And so we pray for them, we walk with them, we read scripture with them. We just permeate life with faith realities. It's also why parents make corporate worship a reality too. What does it mean for a Christ follower in the workforce if they're filled by the Holy Spirit? Because you are. If you claim Christ, you have the Spirit in you. Well, that means at work you're going to honor God with your time and your talents. You're not going to take a shortcut to get quick success. If you're a Christ follower under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be slow to speak with your coworkers. You're going to be slow to get angry with them, but oh man, they're going to push your buttons some days. The point in all of it is that if you're a follower of Christ, then this sanctification work is happening. And the point here is that the work of the Holy Spirit is that work. It's seeking to sanctify us. It's helping us to bring every part of my life over what we talked about last Sunday, which is the Lordship of Jesus Christ, so that when I'm online or I'm in line at a store, I recognize that this too is a moment for Jesus. And he's helping me to destroy those motivations which are selfish so that I follow the sacred for the sake of Christ. Well, do we do that perfectly? So we've talked about really the justification or the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. It's active in you. Talked about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. But now let's talk very honestly about the fact that we fall short of this. And so now that's the adoption work of the Holy Spirit. This third work really is to assure us. And I'm like you, I need this. I need the Holy Spirit assuring me daily that I am a child of the King, that I belong to Him, that I am His own. And that's the work of adoption. The definition here, He bears witness to a believer's spirit that I am a child of God. Listen again to this word from Romans 8. It says there, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear." Well, fear of what? Fear of condemnation. I don't fear condemnation. I'm in Christ. "So I did not receive a spirit that makes me a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship or daughtership. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Now, we need all three parts of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. We need the regenerating work. We need the sanctifying work. But we need this adoption work. It's a daily work of the Spirit. Because ultimately, it gets us back to the good news that I started with. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I had a conversation with a man quite a few years ago, and he was nearing the end of his earthly journey, and the devil was working on him really hard. And he kept telling me, "Pastor, I can't be forgiven. God could never accept me." And he started listing all the things he hadn't done in life. And I affirmed the things he hadn't done in life, but I rejected the first part. When we are in Christ, there is no sin so great, and that's the rest of Romans 8, by the way, that can separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ. The work of adoption, the Holy Spirit's work in here, is to keep telling us every day, you belong to Christ. You are a child of the King. You can call on God as Abba, Father. And that's what the Spirit's doing. Now, all three parts of these are very important, but all of it's really getting to the good news that you and I need to hear every day. But especially this one. I don't live in the midst of my sin here. I live because of the Spirit for the one who is my Father. I don't even live for the here and the now, because that's not ultimate. What's ultimate is the very truth that Paul talks about here, and that is that if you call your God Abba, Father, then you are an heir and a co-heir with Christ. Our problem is that we don't see that too often, or not enough. It's not all that different from what God's people have always struggled with. It was certainly true of the Israelites. If you know the story in the book of Exodus, God works in a mighty hand to deliver God's people out of Egypt, and they make their way to the Red Sea. He parts the waters. He goes through, drowning Pharaoh and his army behind. I mean, this is miraculous. And yet within 3 days, God's people are asking to go back. That's sort of like the Christian life. Because we live in the here and the now, and we think that's what's ultimate. You see, we need what God is going to do and is doing through the Spirit. And what happens as God's people are gathering, and no sooner are they brought out of Egypt, what does God do? And what does He do? He puts a pillar of fire during the night and a pillar of cloud during the day. His presence. The Holy Spirit's presence, ultimately, reminding them that this group, and we don't know how many there were, millions could have been, there's a huge group. God was saying, these are my people, and you are not going to touch them. And God opened a way for them to the future, which they couldn't see, but every day they could see the pillar. And every day they could be reminded that His presence was among them. And every day, you and I are asked to do the same thing through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in us, reminding us of our adoption, and Jesus saying to us, those are God's. They belong to Him. Devil, you cannot touch them. And it's through that the Holy Spirit reminds us that we can cry, Abba, Father. And that's my encouragement to us and you and all of us. I mean, life's not easy. I know it. I feel the tempter's power. I know his wily ways. And I understand, and I'm sure you do as well, that there are days in which I can wonder too. Do I really belong? Am I really a child of the King? And that's where we ask the Holy Spirit to be at work. Come, Holy Spirit. Remind me again, I call on God as Father. And no father turns away his child. So I can be bold. I can boldly come to him. Because I stand on the rock who is Christ, and therefore I cannot be shaken. So here's the promise of Romans 8 in a captured life here. If you know the power of the Holy Spirit, if you've been regenerated, you understand the sanctifying work and this adoption language of the Holy Spirit, it means that when life drops out on you, when it drops out from under your feet, when your plans are messed up, I mean, you had A, B, and C in mind, and you're on to L, M, N, O, P. I mean, it's just nothing like you thought it'd be. Or when you're facing those moments and struggling with a new diagnosis, or maybe a personal distress, or in those moments when as a parent you're straining to see the hope for your children, or a spouse, or a friend, or a neighbor to know the wonders of the gospel. In these moments, our hearts cry out to the Father through the Holy Spirit, and that's why we're able to say, and let's read these words, the blessings of our adoption from the Heidelberg Catechism. Together we say, because I belong to Christ, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. That is the spirit of adoption at work. If you can say these words and believe them, when life falls out, when your plan gets changed, when you're praying for people around you and you're facing a new diagnosis or maybe a distress in life, in these moments we can say, man, I belong. And that not only assures me of eternal life, but it makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to follow Jesus. Today is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. Today, we celebrate the unleashing of the Holy Spirit. Just as it hovered over the very beginning of dawn of creation, hovered over the disciples that day on Pentecost, and still is hovering over the church, we celebrate where we started this morning, and that is, it's not a sociological phenomena. It's a working of the Spirit that people from every tribe, nation, language, tongue, they're gathering today to celebrate the defining reality of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. You see, the Spirit is still at work. We see the Spirit at work in generating power of the gospel by which all whom the Father calls to himself. And as we heard last week, we pray that as Jesus did, God, Father, help the church to grow. Pray for the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, but pray also for the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The sanctifying work of the Spirit by which we can walk with the Spirit and through the Spirit and in the Spirit, claiming more and more of our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then the third one we looked at this morning, pray for the assurance. The assurance that comes through the Spirit that reminds us you're adopted, you belong. And the end of Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the goal of all of it is to bring glory to the Father. The glory of all of it is the one that we bring to the God who says, you are my own. You're saved by grace. That's regeneration. You can walk in holiness. That's sanctification. And you can be secure in his mercy. And that's adoption. If that's your life this morning, just as it's my life, then know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. If you want that to be your life, then know the Spirit's at work there too. And we can talk about that. But may all of it, our life through the Spirit, may it be a story that we tell, a great story of the gospel, a great story of hope, a great story of the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we bow our hearts to you in this moment, we do so thankful. Thankful for the Holy Spirit. Thankful because it's not measured by external reactions or dynamic moments. It's celebrated in the very working of the Spirit daily in our lives. Regeneration, sanctification, adoption. This is our story. This is our song. We thank you, Father, for the way your Holy Spirit continues to be active in our world today. Help us to bend our wills to your will, our hearts to your heart, in all things, that we may celebrate the good news of Jesus daily. And do this for your own glory, we pray, and definitely for our good as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.